Well, we've spent some time in Sesame Street today, from one set of iconic kids' characters to another.
Hey, Kay! Look, there's a new kid moving in!
I just hope this new kid has never heard of me. It's not often you get the opportunity to start over with a clean slate. This time, things will be different. I just need to know the secret for doing something great.
Really want to impress people? You need to show them you're a winner.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can...
Oh, Charlie Brown, he breaks my heart every time. Ever striving, ever optimistic, ever failing, and then starting all over again. And of course, loud and proud Lucy and likeable loyal Linus and pianist prodigy Schroeder and peppermint Patty, also known as Sir to her schoolmates, thank you very much. And of course, who can forget Snoopy? Mischievous, imaginative, beagle, sidekick, timeless, ageless. I wonder if you had a Peanuts character you most related to. The gang are back. Back on big screens this summer in what is their 65th anniversary. Remarkable, isn't it? They are truly timeless. And the man who has helped bring this treasured comic strip back to life is in Australia for the launch of the film. Director Steve Martino, who also directed Horton, Here's a Who, the Dr. Seuss story, and Ice Age Continental Drift. And he's right there. He's got this great shirt. Just describe the shirt for us, Steve Martino.
Well, we've got Snoopy and his gang, the Beagle Scouts. It looks like they're out on a great hike. And as I wandered around Sydney yesterday, I love Sydney because everybody is so into the outdoors and we're in summer, so it's fantastic for me. So I had to wear Snoopy.
And come sun or rain or shine, Snoopy was there lying on the back of his, on the top of his doghouse.
Indeed. And you always wonder what was going on in that crazy head of his, and he shows us.
Well, there was a whole actual world inside his doghouse that Kendall, that I would have loved to have seen. You know?
Oh, I know. We had great fun playing around with, because anything can exist inside there. In the movie, we see that he actually owns Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night. And as he's rooting through the equivalent of his garage to find something important, he's tossing these things out of his doghouse.
Yes, I think all the girls kept their frocks inside his doghouse too. What, this is sort of old school animation for an old school cartoon about childhood done in the old school way, and yet it still feels contemporary.
Well, I tell you, this was the opportunity and the challenge as we started working on the movie. I thought that we could bring these characters to life on the big screen, you know, really take advantage of the canvas, because a movie screen is big, to create a world that is rich and detailed and invites you into Charlie Brown's world, invites you into Snoopy's imagination in a way that we've never seen before. Mm. But what's so important, and this is for the fans like you and I who have grown up with these characters, is that we did not want to change who they were. We want to see Charlie Brown, you know, be the same guy that he's been, but in a new story.
Profoundly existential little boy. I could so relate to Charlie Brown.
I tell you, you know, he reflects us. Yeah. You know, I think there's not one of us that doesn't have a little bit of that Charlie Brown insecurity, wondering, you know, can I ever succeed? And
will the girl ever notice me?
I know. And with that, we always get to laugh at him because things don't always work out well for Charlie Brown. But in a way, we laugh at ourselves because we can relate to those feelings so well.
There was a great line that I pulled out that Charles Schulz, the creator of Charlie Brown, said of Charlie. Charlie Brown must be the one who suffers, because he's a caricature of the average person. Most of us are much more acquainted with losing than winning. Winning is great, but it isn't funny. Isn't that beautiful?
It's so true. So true. I tell you, as we worked on this film, one of the things that I loved, and this comes from just being a director of animated movies, to be able to create a story that is about everyday life. So often, and I've been in part of these, we see films that the world's going to end, you know, aliens are going to destroy the Earth, and there's an uber villain that we need to defeat. This film, we get all of the stakes of emotion, and but from everyday life, from everyday interactions of these kids. And I feel like it's so much more relatable, at least to me.
Yes, it interests me. That's why I said old school animation, because you've been a trailblazer in the animation scene for many years. And yet this is taking it right back to basics, isn't it?
It is. I tell you, we had more fun working on this film. And I'm speaking for all of the animators at Blue Sky Studios that I work with. We kind of reached back into 2D animation thinking and merge that with the technology that we use today. And it was a totally different way of working. I will tell you, it was probably one of the most technically complicated films I've ever worked on to make something that looks so simple, because those characters were so simple in their design. And yet we had fun because it was different.
Steve Martino, we've made everything that's old is new again in some way. Let's just get a sense of how this film came about, because in fact, the Schultz family have been quite reluctant in some ways for just anyone to come along and reappropriate or misappropriate this little gang of kids for the big screen. And it's the Schultz son, Brian, and Craig, the grandson, mm-hmm. I think I've got that the right way around, mm-hmm. who have co-written this script, and they gave it to you. Is this like a sort of a golden, you know, sword or something, over a jeweled, I don't know, something chalice or something?
I tell you, when we first met, and I love the first meeting we had was in the birthday room of the Warm Puppy, which is at the skating rink where Charles Schultz had lunch every day. So it was a small kind of meeting, not a big Hollywood scene. But as Craig asked me to direct the film and to work with Blue Sky, I was honored. And as I went home, I started to realize that very same thing he said. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm holding the precious memories of fans around the world in my hand. Don't screw this up. Mm. And so that was a great motivator for us, especially during that first year as we were developing our approach on the film, because we wanted to deliver not only for the fans, but more importantly, to give to our kids, to a new generation, these characters that have meant so much to us.
Did they mean a lot to you as a child?
Oh, before I could even read, I would sit with my father and read the comic strip. He would read Peanuts to me because he loved the comics, so did I. I was 6 years old when the very first Christmas special came on the air. It was a tradition in our family. You know, when that show came on, it kind of triggered the start of the holiday season. So these characters have been weaved into my life. They were the first characters I ever tried to draw. I studied the work of Charles Schultz as a young animator because I think he created emotion with the beauty of those drawings.
Mm, yes, the essence. With us this morning on Life Matters is Steve Martino. He's director of the new Peanuts movie, and he's in Australia. The film is launched, I think, New Year's Day, here in Australia. But there was something about that world that's particularly distinct, because adults really, this was a kid's world. Adults were sort of irrelevant.
Yeah.
They were just the sort of, you know, garbled chatter in the background.
Wah, 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 wah.
Which is pretty much what they sound like sometimes when you're a kid. That was unique, wasn't it?
I think so. And, you know, what's so interesting, and now I've read so many of the comic strips. I had thought I had read many, but now over the 3 years of making this movie, I've read many, many more. Mm. Charles Schultz had this way. He wrote for adults through the voice of kids, and he tapped into things that were kind of universal in the human condition. He had a way of reflecting our interactions, our life experience, and the comic strip is still relevant today, still funny today, even though it was written many, many years ago.
Not a single iPhone in sight, though.
No.
You know, and it was tablet or computer, or you've kept it old school.
Well, you know, my objective in making a movie, I would love to make something that feels timeless. And so every decision that I made in terms of the furniture that went into Charlie Brown's house, to the way that the curtains were hung, I tried to select things that you could find today as well as back, you know, 50 years ago. Mm. The only giveaways are the phone, the rotary phone,
yes,
and the typewriter.
Yes.
And with the typewriter, we actually use Snoopy and Woodstock to teach a new generation how a typewriter actually works, because they discover it for the first time.
Classic. The other thing, though, about this kind of the interiority of the kids' experience, I guess, that's a kind of hard way of saying it, but just the absence of adults, as thinking about how much kids' lives have changed. This cartoon strip landed in 1950, and in the decades since, kids were quite autonomous. You know, we used to head out in the morning and come back, you know, at 6 o'clock for dinner,
right,
before the lights went down. Mm-hmm. Now children, so for us watching Peanuts, it was, well, that's what kids do. We're out in the world on our own. Mm-hmm. Now children watching it would almost see it as a bit of a novel fantasy. That's the only way they get to do that is in their imagination.
That's a great observation.
Mm.
I have two girls, and I know that their lives were much more structured as they're growing up. The arranging of play dates and the various events and classes and things that they're involved with outside of school compared to when I was growing up. Yeah, Charlie Brown really reflected my upbringing. You know, I came home and I just shot out.
See ya.
Yeah, you know, it was our own little world with our friends until dinner time.
It's a real honouring of the child's experience and sophistication of their anxieties and worries and concerns, isn't it? And I'm thinking again, you know, 1950, it was really just the time when all the great theorists around child development were publishing their stuff, Piaget and Spock, yeah, and people like that.
Well, it's been so interesting to me as the movie has opened in the United States, and I have friends who are school teachers, and so many of them have come up to me and said, you totally captured the reality of how kids interact with one another. And it's not me. It's really Charles Schulz had that ability to kind of put a mirror up to the realities of personal interaction, you know, Lucy with Charlie Brown and, you know, Peppermint Patty and Marcy and the whole group. But to hear that from a teacher today who says, you know, that is still there, the way that kids kind of treat and interact with one another.
What did you learn from his son and grandson, Craig and Brian, about Charles's motivation for these characters over so many decades?
Well, you know, one, it was, you know, 50 years of reflection of his life experience. And so as we would come across the comic strip, Craig Schulz, who was the son of Charles Schulz, would say, oh, I remember when that was written. This was what was going on. You know, I was just starting to write dirt bikes. And so Pigpen goes out and, you know, he's now, or Snoopy's now riding a motorcycle. You know, it was very reflective of the life that they led. And Charles Schulz, that's what he drew from. You know, I think he drew, like with Charlie Brown, in terms of his insecurities and desires, those were things that Charles Schulz had very personally. He said that Charlie Brown really reflected more of who he was, and Snoopy reflected more of who he wanted to be.
Mm. Yes, Snoopy in his ceaseless quest to capture the Red Baron, you know. You know, the world of the imagination is wonderful. What did you get a sense of what Charles was like as a father?
I did. You know, Craig would tell me that he didn't know what his dad really did. It's like, well, he draws things. I don't know if he has a real job or not, is what Craig's recollection of
that. He didn't really know the characters very well, did he?
No, but, you know, he said that his dad was always there. You know, if they wanted to pull a baseball game together, he'd put the pen down and he'd go out and play with them. It seemed like he was a great dad.
Yeah.
And I dearly wish I could have met him, because that combination of an artist, and I love to create art myself, and the fact he loved sports. He was a golfer. He played hockey until he was in his 70s, avid tennis player. And I love all of those things as well. I would have loved to have met him.
Mm. So what do you have Charlie Brown getting up to in this? We don't want to give it all away, obviously,
right,
but let's just look at some of the big themes that you're playing with. Love is obviously it. And I love the fact that Charles Schulz acknowledged the power of strong emotions in children,
yeah,
because often we we ignore them, or we see them as a sort of part of the developmental trajectory, or we don't really understand their weight and intensity at that age and their significance.
Oh, well, you know, what was fascinating for me as we were working on the movie, and yes, an important part of the story is the little red-haired girl comes into Charlie Brown's life for the very first time.
Mm.
And as we were developing the story, and I'm wondering about how this is going to connect for a new generation, my youngest daughter, who was a freshman in high school at the time, had her first crush. And I'm watching the extreme emotions day by day. I was like, oh my gosh, this is still as relevant today as it was 50 years ago, because that's the human experience. And that is something that does not change.
Yes, yeah, Snoopy as guide, Snoopy as muse in a way, or and Charlie Brown as well, kind of philosophical guides in the world, I think,
yes.
Ever relevant to our adult lives, as I was reading, because I downloaded some of the stories again. And just amazing what he was able to tell in four cartoon scenes,
oh,
you know. What do you call those? Four
panels.
Panels, you know, of a cartoon. Bang, nailed it again. Bang, nailed it again.
He had such a rhythm with that, introducing an idea, building upon it. Third panel was always a pause to make you wonder what's going to happen. And the fourth panel always surprised you, and you ended up laughing.
Take us inside the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center, which you immersed yourself in, I gather, as part of this process. What is in that world?
Oh, it's a fabulous museum. Anybody who has the chance to get to Santa Rosa, California, I highly recommend taking a visit. But Jeannie Schulz, the widow of Charles Schulz, opened up that museum to our team. We looked at the original drawings, studied how he drew, studied his life. I tell you, that was the thing that surprised me the most. By getting to know more about him as a creator, him as a person, the things that he did, like going off to war in World War II, and the things he did early on as an artist, 6 years trying to become a comic strip artist and reaching failure after failure.
No one wanted the characters.
No, but he was...
Did he start with those characters? Were these the characters that were being rejected?
He had a comic strip that ran in St. Paul, Minnesota called Little Folks, and they were kind of the predecessor of Peanuts. Mm. And ultimately, you know, it found its way into the newspapers and around the world as Peanuts today.
What about his war experiences? How do you think that shaped him and his storytelling?
You know, I think the experience of, you know, going to another country, getting outside of Minnesota, taking on responsibility, all of it shaped him, you know, in terms of his growth.
Mm.
And certainly I think that's why the World War I Flying Ace has such an important place in the history of Peanuts.
Mm.
Because I think that reflected his experience. So Snoopy wandering the countryside, the French countryside, as he was in pursuit of the Red Baron, a lot of those locations came from his experience actually in World War II.
So lucky that he survived. And I also,
yeah.
I mean, his cartoons also emancipated his little girl characters in many ways too, well
yes.
before girls and women were really being emancipated.
Absolutely.
I mean, yes, the war had, in a sense, given women a voice mm-hmm. on the home front that they hadn't had before through, you know, working in munitions factories and the like. But here you've got Peppermint Patty, who's this great little gutsy character.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was fantastic as well.
Well, you look at the full cast. It's such a wonderfully balanced cast. You've got Lucy, she's probably the strongest voice. She sees the world through her own filter and is not afraid to share that.
She's an angry girl. She's tough.
You know, the thing that we worked on, and you read the strip, you see, she's actually a very good friend to Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
She wants to help him. She's just brutally honest.
Yeah. She's a feminist before her time, I think.
She is.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations on the film. It's obviously you've had a lot of fun making this.
We sure have. And, you know, out of this experience, the thing that's been really wonderful is I've become very good friends with Craig Schulz and Brian Schulz. We've shared this journey together. And it's nice to come out of a project not only with something that you've made, but the relationships and those friendships, you know, that are part of that process are great too.
Part of the extended Schulz clan. And it's part of why they trusted you with this project, your attention to authenticity with your Dr. Seuss film?
I think that was a big part. In the first conversations I had with Craig Schultz, you have to understand, and I appreciated this every day working on the movie, he's taking on a huge responsibility for the family to create something new. And so I want to be respectful of that and do everything we can to honor the work of his father and to show it, you know, to a new generation in a way that doesn't try to change it, but bring all that beauty to the screen in a bigger way.
Steve Martino, I just reckon you want your childhood to never end.
That is the best.
Lucky thing.
That is the best part of working in animation.
Dr. Seuss. Well, so what's next? Are you allowed to tell us?
I haven't started. I literally have just put my pencil down on this film. And I think maybe after the holidays, I'll dig back into the beginning of something new. I don't know what that will be yet.
Well, enjoy your adventures, and thanks for bringing us the Peanuts clan yet again. Steve Martino, thank you.
Oh, it's been so nice to be here.
Steve Martino is the director of the Peanuts movie, which hits the big screen in Australia from January the 1st. So part of the summer spread and those little characters. It's been lovely delving back into their lives, actually, and their little distinct personalities. You appreciate them more when you're a grown-up somehow, I suspect.